Lord when Ehud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lippidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between the Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and unto the children of Zebulun. Now look there in your Bible. That last verse we just read, that is not a period. That is a question mark. If you go up to the front of the conversation that she is saying, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded? These are all past tense things. These are not questions as to, hey, listen, you know, or it wasn't a matter of her giving the command where she says, listen, this is what you ought to do. It's a question. Is this not what we're supposed to be doing? God has given each and every one of us, both as church members and individuals, a certain set of tasks. People in our lives that need the gospel, sins that need to be fought, levels of obedience and ability that need to be attained to. We all have our lists of things. I went out yesterday and I've got 3 new folders, one for each of the things we've got going on this summer, so I can keep those things in order. All right, who's getting this? I've got one for the Bible conference, right? It's got the receipt for the things for the hotel room. So if there's any questions, boom, there it is. There's to-do lists. We've got a brand new set of, not a brand new set, but the bulletin boards are up to date back there. Now forgive me, it's a little bland. We'll add some color into it later, but I had to get that information on there. We got sign-up sheets. Right? I saw some of you as you were walking in, you stopped as dutiful church members you are. You stopped and you started signing up for stuff. And you said, okay, I can get this and I can get that. We all have our lists of things. And what is a bummer is when we see those lists not being accomplished. As somebody who was in managerial position for the longest time, when I give somebody a list of things and I check in with them midway through the day, it gave me a certain level of irritation when they weren't as far through that list as I expected them to be. I said, all right, listen, I gave you 5 very easy things to do today. It is now 1:00. You are still on number 1. What happened? Oh, well, you know, I got this and that and this. I get irritated real fast. I have very little patience for those things. I expect momentum. I expect some zeal and some drive. That is kind of a spirit of let's get things done. And I like that. And I appreciate that when I see real men and real women who stand up and get the things done. Deborah was somebody who got things done. Now, there are many, they look at this very first, but maybe the fourth verse there. Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lebedoth, she judged Israel at the time. Now, if we're wondering, why is it that Deborah was both a prophetess and she got to be judge when leadership is supposed to go to the men? And the answer here is very simple. When God looked down and he saw this need, there was not a lot of men who liked to get things done. You follow me on this? Not a lot of men who liked to get things done. There was a lot of men who liked to give in to the worship of the pleasure gods. There was a lot of men who liked to talk and laze about. And as much as they would complain about what was going on a global scale, their captivity, these big old chariots out here, as much as they loved to complain about it, they were not big doers of things. And you know, we'll go through some of the reasons why some of the men were so weak. But again, we have to understand this, that Deborah did not get this by default. It wasn't, all right, none of the men are capable. Now let's go through and see all the women. All right, D, she's at the top of the alphabet. Let's Deborah. Deborah gets to be in charge. No, Deborah had a special heart. She had a desire. She had the ability to take men like Barak and say, hey, listen, isn't this what God said? Is this not what God said to do? And yet, where are you? You're just sitting there. Let's go. Let's get things started. Let's get things moving here. Now, this sermon is not going to be something that we can use to prove why women ought to be leaders. And it's not going to be one that sits there and says that women are inferior and dumb either. The fact of the matter is we get lost as to the definition of leadership. Why do men have the leadership? Is it because they are by far more intelligent? No. As a matter of fact, the very same, you could run every same kind of science explanation in there, and we're all pretty much just kind of break even. It's all about how you were raised, how you were taught, a little bit about genetics, and a little bit about your laziness. Whether or not you are mentally motivated or if you're mentally lazy, right? We talk about that in our house all the time. Sometimes we make mistakes because we're mentally lazy. We're just not thinking. We didn't think it all the way through. So we oops, right? You get all the way to the grocery store. You're buying your stuff. You come home. You realize you forgot the thing that you went there for. Mental laziness. I didn't write it down, whatever have you. Some mistakes are just down to that. So we can't sit there and say that men are superior in their build. Now, are we the tougher creatures, right? Could you drop us from further and we still survive? Yes. Are we by genetics stronger? Absolutely. That's why the Bible says that the women is the weaker vessel. We are built a little bit different to handle a little bit of a different load. God gave each of us our specific abilities and talents. And then what he did is when it came down to giving judgment or punishment to the man and the woman for sinning in the garden, one of the things that he instituted was man being in charge. Why? Because God gave Adam the one rule. Don't do this. What did Adam do? Well, no, Eve did it. Eve did this. No. She gave him the fruit. You think he didn't recognize the fruit? Doesn't say that she cooked it, boiled it, made it unrecognizable. Gave him the fruit. He ate it knowing the rules. So from now on, because you drop the ball like this, you're in charge of making sure the ball doesn't drop again. Man was put there as a responsibility. We get it twisted around thinking that the person who's the leader is of more value, is more stronger, has more perks. It's more of a desirable thing. No. It is the number one worker. It is the hardest worker. It is the person who goes out there first, right? And the problem is there's a lot of men who are not being the fathers they're supposed to be. They're not being the workers they're supposed to be. And all of that stuff that they're supposed to be doing falls back down to their wives, their coworkers, their family members. It falls down to them because they refuse to put it in. They refuse to take up the idea of leadership. Let me use an illustration. Who can... Kids, right? Please, adults, don't. Who over here can tie their shoes? You can tie their shoes. You know what, Jack, can I pick on you? Come up here, Jack. Jack, a man named James Gill showed this to me one day. Go ahead and put your foot up there. You got shoes to tie? Okay. You got clean shoes on? Good. You're a boy. It's fine. All right. Now, what we're going to do, oh, my. I'm going to let you untie that rat's nest. Now, raise your hand if you are left-handed. Raise your hand if you're right-handed. Okay, so we each have hands that were... Anybody here ambidextrous? You can mess it up with both hands? Yeah. Couldn't catch a ball to save your life? All right, now which one are you? Are you right-handed or left-handed? Right-handed, okay. What I want you to do is I want you to tie your shoe with your right hand. Not with your left. I'll put the left one in your pocket because that's going to be tempting. You're going to get mad. Go ahead and tie it up. Now, the right hand or the dominant hand, we always say, well, that's the man. Man's the dominant one. It's the strongest one. It's the toughest one, right? Now, the men are more important. You don't need women. You'll just need men. Men are the leaders. Men are the best. Men are the strongest. How's it going, Jack? It's not going so good, is it? Now, this is family life. This is the building of the individual. Past a certain point, You weren't meant to be alone. If God looked down at Adam and said, oh, he was never meant to be alone, he never meant for you to be all by yourself either, right? So Jack's having a hard time. This is life. This is family. This is retirement. This is all of our struggles. Now go ahead and do it with just your left hand. Now, obviously, because the right hand can't do it, that means that the right hand is secretly inferior. Society has had it wrong the entire time. And really, left-handers rock. Left-handers should have the rule. Right-handers drool. And that's the way it ought to be. It is not men. It is the women that should be dominant. The women that should be in charge. Now, Jack, with the left hand should be better because the right hand messed up, right? How's it going? You've got a lot farther than I thought you would. That's the hard part, to get it. Now, Jack, do it the way you'd want to do it. Both working together. Is there a dominant hand, one that's used the most, one that the brain, which is God, by the way, is moving both together? Why? Because both work as one. Thank you, buddy. You're just going to leave the chair here? I got it. You go that way. Both working together. You want to know why a lot of young girls get out of church? Is because we teach them as though they are property. As though they belong to a dominant, landlord-esque type man. The knight, the king of the realm. The man's no higher than God is. You understand? God made them of one flesh. Right? Now, one hand is more dominant. It gets more work. It gets more effort. That's the man. The other hand, is that useless? Right? Jack, which hand would you rather me chop off? Right! No, thank you. I need them both. This hand, useless without this hand. This hand, useless without this one. Which one's more dominant? Neither one of them are used whatsoever without the brain. Without God, we're both useless. So, can God use Deborah to be both a prophetess and a judge of Israel? Yes, he can. Should she, though? That's the question. Should she, though? No. She shouldn't have to be. Men, we ought to step up and do what we're supposed to do so that stuff doesn't fall over on the woman. Right? Women, you have very powerful jobs, very powerful responsibilities, very strong requirements from God. Men, we're messing it up when we lay those things aside and let that fall on the woman to take care of. Be the person you're supposed to be. Not in a, I'm in charge, I'm smarter, I'm better, she's too simple to understand these things kind of way. Because again, that's why women are leaving the churches. We teach them like they're dumb cattle, and no one's going to want to come out and play anymore, right? As that one kid on the playground who used to make fun of the girls all the time, and now he's working all by himself at the lube shop, and he goes home to his dogs and his cats, right? All right, you have to have the proper understanding. I'm nothing without God. She is nothing without God. My wife has strengths and talents and abilities and patiences, or a level of patience that God gave her. And I struggle to obtain to those. You know what she doesn't need messing those things up? Me refusing to be the leader. Now, what do we mean by leader? The person who says, this is how it goes and that's how it goes. No. Me who sits there and says, hey, listen, this is what the Lord says we ought to have as a priority. Right? I step up and say, this is how our family is going to tithe. This is how our family is going to give. And we discuss things and we work them out. My brain and her brain. Now, as creative as Danielle is, she is far more, left brain's the smart one, right? I can't tell. She's the smart side of the brain, the analytical, the intelligent. She works things out faster, the mathematical. Me, I'm on the other side. I'm all over the place. I can create, I can build. Now, she's better at that too. It's not fair, but that's where we are, right? Her brain works in a way that mine can't. And you know what? Sometimes my brain works in a way that she can't. I need her. I'd like to think she needs me. You'll have to ask her later about that. But you understand what I'm trying to say here? Many people, they look at Deborah and say, well, women are inferior and unintelligent. Why on earth her? It must have been because men were so bad. It was because there weren't real men there to handle the task. And you know what? If God can use a man, he can use anything. That's just being honest, not being degrading, not being funny. But if God can use someone like me, we can't sit there and say there's anybody that God can't use. We can't lower the bar other than me. So God put that level of leadership on man. But God looked down, he used Deborah by his will and his might. So can we sit there and really dally back and forth around this? No. God chose Deborah, I'm going to shut up. And what Deborah did is Deborah stepped in. The question is not can a woman be a leader, but should a woman have to be? Should one hand have to cover their side and the other side as well? No. Yet God chose to use Deborah. There are many reasons for this, but none of them are in spite of the idea that women are incapable. Men and women have the capability, both have the capability of leadership because all wisdom comes from the Lord, and it is a responsibility, however, that God put on man. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. Let's not make this sound ecumenical. If I die, my wife's going to be able to handle these boys okay. That's my assessment. She's going to be a great mom long after I go, right? My wife knows a certain amount of scripture. She's got the ability to learn those things, teach those to those boys. She's got that ability. But whose responsibility is it? That's mine. It's my chore. It's my job. It's my chore. I'm supposed to cover those bases, right? So let's look at Deborah. Deborah saw this great problem, and God gave her this great ability, and God gave her really kind of a neat position there, right? People were coming to her for what God had to say, and she was so well known, they even named the palm tree around her after her, right? She lived under the palm of Deborah, right? Where are we going to go? All right, you're going to go over there, you're going to make a left at the palm of Deborah, and she'll be right underneath that thing, and you'll go over there. And that's the road that Barak took. He took there, he walked up the way, knocked on their door, and she says, hey, listen, did God not say? Isn't this what God had to say? What are you still doing here? She saw the need. God made a request, and there's the rest of the nation just sitting on their hands, wondering what's going on here. She played the role as a prophetess to Israel, literally meaning that God would give her revelation, not new revelation contradictory to the word, but he would speak through her. Hey, listen, tell so-and-so this and tell so-and-so that. Make sure this happens. Make sure that happens. Listen, when Barak comes back up here, make sure he knows this. Right? That's the relationship that she had with God. Now, what's important for us to do is to take what we know about God, take what God says about our lives, make sure that we're putting it into practice. That's what Deborah did. She saw, listen, this is very simple. Thus saith the Lord, thus doeth the me. That's easy. That's what he says to do. That's what we're going to do. She also played the role of a judge. Deborah did the job making corrections and pushing for freedom from their oppressors. In chapter 5, Deborah states that she rose up a mother of Israel. This is chapter 5 during her song. Also a prolific songwriter. That's quite a good chapter. And folks, that's what we're seeing here. The sweet role of a mother. Corrective and formative discipline being doled out with care and compassion. It was her desire to serve God and to serve her people. People just do not realize the value of a mom nowadays. The majority of the world has completely forgotten even how to be one. And all the world has felt its effects. How sad it is that the role of a good mom is looked down on like slavery or imprisonment. Moms create society both in making of the people and the forming who they are. Tell you a story. A woman by the name of Kathleen Maddox had a baby at 16 years of age. She would every now and then try to abandon or give the child away, only to be prevented by her family. At one time, she traded the boy to a lady looking to adopt a child for a pitcher of beer. Her uncle found out about it and tracked the lady and his nephew down to get him back. She finally sent him away to a school for boys. Upset and homesick, the little boy ran away and hurried home to the only person he wanted, his mom. Disgusted, Kathleen rejected him and would not let him come home. He spent the bulk of his childhood on the streets. He learned to steal and manipulate to survive. Kathleen Maddox's little boy would then spend some of his teenage years in jail for his crimes. He would go on to have an effect on people, a remarkable kind of effect. He created a family of his own made of rejects, drug addicts, and lonely souls such as himself. But of course, you know all about Charles Manson and his makeshift family, don't you? You think about the power, the effect that a mother has. Now, we'll pick on dads in a couple more chapters, but think about that for a second. Folks, if we get rid of the role of a mother, we see very much the society that we see today, where there is no respect, where there is no understanding. Deborah stood up not just as a prophetess or a judge, but a mother to all of Israel. Now you think about it, Israel messed up. And when you mess up as often as Israel had, you no longer see there and look at them and say, hey, listen, this is a group of people who are capable and able to have government and laws. No, they're not mature enough for that. What do they need? They need a mother to stand up and correct them and guide them and mold them in a certain way. Now again, men are capable of this as well. And as a matter of fact, I think men give a lot of mothers a hard time by not fulfilling their roles to their children. But nonetheless, to remove the role of a mother is to remove the very soul and mind of the society. Israel did not have the maturity to handle a government. What they needed was a parent again, and that's what God gave them. Verse 6 of our text, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. You chicken. Those last words were mine. I stop and I think so much about that. Hey, is this what God said? And listen, if you do this, we'll move so-and-so over here and we'll secure the battle this way. Well, I'll go if you go. But if you don't go, I'm not going. Those are childhood games, right? And very much this is the nature and attitude of many of the quote-unquote men of Israel at this time. Chickens, weaklings, laying down, letting every unknown god and every weird pretense hop the borders and come into the land. They were not just allowing it, they wanted it. And we see such frailty in this child's manipulation, right? Well, I'll go if you go. Didn't you ever say that when you were a kid? I used to have cousins, we would say that to each other. All right, listen, we're going to get dad's four-wheeler. We're going to get this piece, this top part of the garbage can, and this jump rope. We tie the jump rope to the back of the four-wheeler. You hang on to it, and I'm going to see how fast we can drive before the rope breaks. All right, I'll do it if you do it first. That's what we did as kids. How many of us sat there hearing a parent or your boss call, and you look over at your coworker, you go, I'll go if you go, but if you don't go, I'm not going. That is not maturity. God very clearly told us to go and wage this war. Well, I'll go if you go. Tell them that to Deborah, who already had a lot on her plate, already had a lot of things going on. But I tell you what, you come with me and I'll go. He stepped away. Well, while Deborah stepped in, Barak stepped away. It is incredibly disappointing that Barak responded in the way that he did to God's command. God has laid out many a thing for us to do. We shouldn't need anyone to hold our hand through it. Now, of course, we support each other and we edify one another. And of course, that's true and we're commanded to do that. But to make conditions for obedience to God's commands is sad. Christ did not say, Father, I will die on this cross under these conditions. He said, thy will be done. And guess what? He did it. That is the model. Not this weird deal that Barak had to try to do with Deborah here. Now, I pick this apart. I go, you know what? Is he afraid? Is he afraid and he needs Deborah to come and hold his hand? Now, listen, we all need comfort. We all need encouragement. We all need structure. I get that. But if all you have is you, you should be able to go out and do it. Barak was not just some guy off the street. He was not the pie seller on the corner. He was a soldier. And a soldier is made for what? Going to war. And he's sitting there, he's holding back. Is it fear? I'm not sure. Is it maturity? Is he just mad that Deborah's telling him to do something? Is he mad that he thought he could get away with this? That maybe, you know, if I just sit there and ignore God long enough, he'll stop calling. If I just kind of sit there and ignore my boss, maybe the work won't have to happen. And I thought this, well, did you have a crush? Did you just want more time with Deborah? Why would you not go? The fact is very simple. If you're called to go, you go. Don't linger back. Grab a hold of responsibility. It is so sad that we don't just have a current generation and a generation before that that has a hard time with responsibility. People have been fighting with responsibility since the dawn of time. Seeing something that needs to be done and taking care of it. You know, who is it that's responsible for this in our home? And we're not just talking about chores. Since the kids got off of school, we kind of fell away from doing our home devotions, right? And I think Caspian really kind of likes our devotions. He always may, hey, all right, devotion time. But he kind of likes those. Now, is it my wife's fault we're not doing the family devotions? It's not. Right? I could sit here and I could bemoan all day. I could beat this pulpit. There's no devotions in my family house. Now, I'm not waiting for Brother Tim to come start them. Whose responsibility is it? It's right here, Dad. Where are you? You see the need. Let's get in there. Well, you know, it's the kids are gone. We shouldn't do family devotions just because there's kids in the house. You ever do couples devotions? Right? Now, if you're all by yourself, that's just called Bible study. Don't get cute. All right? You and your dog sitting at the table. You don't go for it. I'm not going to judge you. Go for it. Right? But who's responsible for that? You are. Who's responsible for your prayer life? You are. You're leaving stuff sitting on the table. You're leaving challenges undone. What kind of a person does that? You know what? Maybe you got a focus problem. I got a little bit of a focus problem. So you know what I do? I write stuff down. I make lists. You go into the church office right now. You look over there. I got that whiteboard filled with stuff that we've got to focus on. Because you know what will happen? I'll get into my books and I'll forget stuff. So I got it written down back there. So if I look up, you know what? We got to take care of that. Right? Right now I've got one I can knock off. Bat. No bat. All right? I'm confident. You don't have to ask me how I know. No bat. All right? Wipe that off. That's done. Right, bulletin board, I wiped that down, that's done. That's a little bland and colorless, we're going to fix that. But boom, that's done. Come Saturday, we're going to have some more stuff done. Whoop, whoop, that's done. Who handles the responsibility? You do. Right, well, I'm not the man. You handle your responsibility. Don't sit there and try to pick and choose. Handle yourself. Well, you know, I'd start studying my Bible if my husband would start doing devotions in the house. Get over yourself, pick up your Bible, start studying. Quit making excuses. Well, if the man goes, I'll go. If the woman goes, I'll go. Those are childish games. Get into it. Come on. Let's have some responsibility. Let's get into this thing. Don't step away when you've got every ability to do something about the trouble and trials going on around you. He stepped away from responsibility. What kind of person steps away from responsibility? Lazy people step away from responsibility. People who worship themselves step away from responsibility. I did this message for one of our men's fellowships. You know, sometimes we just leave glory sitting on the table. Look at what Deborah says. Verse 9, and she said, I will surely go with thee. Don't worry, little boy. I'll surely go. Those were my words, not theirs. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. Now, you've got all the ability to go in there, take out this guy, but there's all these chariots and there's all this stuff going on. And God gave you the victory. Just go in there and take care of it. You're leaving it sit on the table. You're leaving the opportunity to see something great happen. Sit right there. You know, why do we do the things we do as a church? Because God commanded us to do them. Do you know the blessings and the amazing things that you'll not get to see if you step back and don't do them? Right? I've told that many a times. You know, Jack came up here. He was doing the shoe tying thing. You know who did that to me? Jim Gill did that to me. That was a man who'd come by my house every Saturday, knock on my door. I was the only guy in his Sunday school class. Knock on my door. Make sure I made it to church on Sunday. Now, he wasn't mean. He wasn't awful about it. He didn't call me on a Sunday afternoon, but I told you to come and you were here. It was loving. It was kind. It was caring. It was compassionate. And guess what? Guess who voted for me when the Lord saved me and I came forward for church membership? He was the first hand up. 80-something years old, beating out all the young people. Just, hey, there it was. Only every time you see him jump up like that is when he'd go to end a long meeting. Any motion, I make a motion, we cut it off right now. He put that effort in. And later on, as we were serving, I realized that, you know what? The Lord's work is going to be done whether you do it or not. But why on earth would you deprive yourself, would you deprive God of you being able to be there when you see His hand work? Why would you hold back? When you could be there when it happened, why be Thomas sitting on the outside of the room when everybody who showed up to church that day got to see the Lord Himself show up? Why on earth would you skip out on that? Would you miss being at the tomb when the stone rolled away and oh, He was gone? Why would you miss that when you could be there? Verses 10 through 17, we do see where Barak gets to work. He was not completely lost, and he joins Deborah in the song of chapter 5. It's just incredibly disappointing to see that his attitude started off so poorly. Don't have a bad attitude. If there's something to do, I'm in for it. And I tell you what, Brother Gunnels, he comes up to me, he goes, I hope you never stop being impressed by us or shocked. I can't remember how exactly he put it. But it's true. We laid out all this work we've got to do. And you know what? I'll come in, I'll be sitting there, I'll be racking my brain. All right, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I'll come up to try to talk to about some of you guys. You guys are like, all right, well, we're doing this, we're doing this, we're doing that. All right, I already got this, we're doing this over here, and we've got that. Okay, fine, that's all better. Let's come back over here. That's fine. You know, I come back, I know they don't want me to tell you, but there's a particular family in our church that's already done a bunch of cleaning. They put a list on the back table in the fellowship hall. Why? Because why wait? We're excited. Let's get into this. I don't know all your motivations for all the things that you do. Maybe you just got ants in your pants. Maybe you're just excited to serve. I don't care. Let's have that attitude in everything we do. I'm not going to sit here and wait. I'm not going to start off going, all right, well, you got to motivate me. All right, you got to get me excited about this. We would talk about that in sales. How do we motivate people to buy? And it would always be some kind of a discount or promo code or offer. You know what? In God's house, we ought not need bribery or trickery or games to get us involved in things. We ought to be able to do it just because we love the Lord and we want to serve Him. Amen. Go to verse 17 with me. Now, remember back, right, a few minutes ago, Deborah says, God's going to give Sisera into the hands of a woman. Now, if I'm reading that for the first time, what woman's hand am I thinking He's going to deliver Sisera into? Deborah's, right? Let's read. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Canaanite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, turn in, my lord, turn into me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her, into her tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. She opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Now listen, I'm going to stop for a little bit of commentary. You're not going to get this in the Matthew Henry commentary. You're not going to get this in the Spurgeon. You're not going to get this in any regular commentary. This is my. If you're thirsty, what do you want milk? Whoever, you're working, you're out there, you're sweating your face, you're exhausted, maybe you went for a run, maybe you're doing yard work. You come in, you don't grab a big old glass of milk. That's the most disgusting thing you could pour down your throat while you're hot and sweaty. Now, I like a good glass of milk, but I do not like it when I'm hot and sweaty. Right? I'm running around. I want water. Hey, give me water. What'd she give him? Milk. Now, that should have been the first red flag to him. Again, he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here that thou shalt say no? Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and drove an hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. Now that is some meek and temperate behavior. It was neither of those things. Now you notice, she had no complicity in his evil. Give me some water. You're not getting that comfort here. Some milk. Now, I don't know what kind of milk they had. Maybe some goat milk. They didn't have a refrigerator. So you're going to get some old sitting around half the day milk, right? There you go. All right, now go stand over by the tent. And if any man comes up asking for me, tell him I'm not here. And just, I'm going to hide over here. I'm going to take a nap. You lie to everybody who walks by that tent. For those of you outside, I just pretended to hammer somebody's head into the pulpit. Just boom, 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 boom. Drove him into the ground. Why? Whose responsibility is it to stand against right, stand against wrong, and stand for right? Is it the man's? Yes. And also the woman's. Here we have an enemy. Now, these were not her people. She didn't have to do this. But she stood against a man who was doing an evil thing. And also, it is incredibly inappropriate for a man to run into a woman's tent and start making these kind of demands on her. Right? He was just kind of breezing through and demanding certain things. And you know what she did? She stepped up. The problem came to her. And she had a heart and a desire to solve the problem where it was. We should all have the heart to solve a problem where it is. I've seen this from time to time, and don't get angry at me. I'm not trying to cause any fights on the way home today, all right? So you forgive me for saying this, but it needs to be said. There are certain people who only abide by the fact that women should submit to their husbands when it's convenient. Following me on this? Well, no man's going to tell me, and I'm going to do this, and no one's going to tell me what I ought to do. And, we need a representative to handle this in the church. Honey, that's my husband handles that stuff. I don't, right? Hey, we got some responsibility. We need some, you know what, honey, can you know, I'm just a woman. Can you step back? Don't do that. Now listen, men, you're the head of the homes. You answer to God for what happens in your home. Women, you ought to submit to your husbands. But if a problem lands right there at your feet, you take care of it. Right? Well, my husband's not doing anything for my spiritual growth. What are you doing for your spiritual growth? Don't act so defeated all the time. Handle the problems. Right? Well, my husband doesn't help me get rid of this sin. And how am I supposed to get rid of the sin if my husband doesn't help me? Poor you. That's my answer, by the way. I'm not picking. That's it. Poor you. You do it. You get rid of your sin. You're responsible for yourself. The very same you that stands up and says, well, no, I don't need to submit to my husband, is the you that sits there and blames your husband for every problem that you've got. Solve the problems. And husbands, let's flip that coin around on the other side. My wife nags me and she does this and she does this. Solve your problems. Come on. Solve your problems. We're not talking about manhood or womanhood. We're talking about adulthood. Handle your stuff. Handle the problems that happen inside the home. Be responsible. Stand up. So the problem came to her. She solved the problem. And if you look over in chapter 5, we see where in Deborah's song, she exalts Jael above women. Why? Because she didn't sit there and give in, like every man of the children of Israel had done, like every woman of the children of Israel had done. She did not sit there and allow herself to be victimized by this running man. She didn't allow herself to be complicit in the crime. She stood up and she did something about it. This is what needs to be done. This is what God said. If God says to do it, that's what we're about. That's what's going to get done today. And for that, she was praised in this song. A woman who had no part and no right within the children of Israel was blessed among women. Verse 24 of chapter 5, blessed above women shall Jael, the house of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. And she brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed. He fell. He laid down. At her feet he bowed. He fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. It would go on to talk about how the mother of Sisera was out looking for him, was just kind of waiting for him to come home. Two women handled the work while the men had bad attitudes. That's kind of today, isn't it? It is kind of today. You look at a lot of churches. You know, we were talking to that one contractor who came to look at our chimney, and that's what he said. It's kind of weird to see a church where there's men doing stuff. Because typically the men are sitting at home, watching the game, drinking a beer, messing around. Right? What was it? We're dealing with some insurance people. Where's the board? Typically there's a bunch of board. No, there's no board. Anything like that going on. We don't do things the way that's popular in the world. We just do things the way we know we're supposed to. If we all know what's supposed to be done, we don't need to be hiding behind our egos, hiding behind our perceived slights. Let us stand up and do things right. And that's what the Bible talks about. What's leadership? You know, what is leadership? Leadership is somebody who takes what God says and lets it be done. A mom is a leader to her children, right? There are many places in the Bible where women are commanded to stand up and teach and to lead other women. Men are commanded to stand up and lead their communities. We're all taught and told to be leaders in one way or the other. We are lacking in leadership. We are lacking in people who know the way, go the way, and show the way. Right? That's something Pastor Hugan always used to say, that know the way, go the way, show the way. People who know what we're supposed to be doing based off of what God says. People who go that way, who don't just know it, but they practice it day in and day out. And then they stop and they take young people, new Christians, regardless of their age, and show them how it's done. Not just by verbally telling them, but by showing them physically the ropes and the rungs and where to put your feet. Oh, that we would all grasp a hold of God's word in our lives. That we would understand what true leadership is. True leadership is not ascending to a kingship or a lordship. It's not about dominion. As man is the head of the woman, God is the head of the man. All of us are underneath. There's not one dominant hand between us. We are all one flesh in the marriage. But it is God gave the man that leadership principle, but it does not mean we wipe women completely off the map. Ladies, handle leadership as God has given it to you among other women and inside the home with the kids. That we would handle our problems and not play the gender roles game back and forth. Well, you're not man enough. Well, you're not submissive enough. Blah, blah. Let's lay those things aside. Step up to what God has called you to do and handle those things. We would be a lot happier. This country would be a lot healthier. And families would be a lot stronger if we just grabbed a hold of God's will and way for our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,